Yeah, okay. I apologize if I repeat things, because I don't remember who I say what to anymore. So if I repeated anything that I said to, in other shurim, I apologize for that. But let's go over some basic inyanim that are relevant for... I think the topic of the tonight's shiur was common halachas for the night of the Seder. Yeah, I think at some point over the week I decided to talk about something else. But I think we'll talk about the Seder as well. But let's talk about some other shailas that are negay to Pesach. Let's start talking about, we'll go what I call chronological order. Let's start talking about, we have Bedikas Chametz is Thursday night. So, Bedikas Chametz we've spoken about in the past. What exactly the purpose of Bedikas Chametz is, what are we looking for? We're not trying to move any refrigerators or any ovens. We're basically trying to look to Chametz that's accessible and available over Pesach is what we're trying to look for and to get rid of. After Bedikas Chametz is over, a person has to recite Kol Chamiru. Kol Chamir is a statement that we're making all our chametz batel mevotel. If one recites the words of Kol Chamir and has no idea what they just said, it's worthless. This is not like a tefillah that you get credit because you're trying to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have to know what you're saying, and if you don't know what you're saying, you're not yoytze. So a person should make sure he knows what those words mean, and he should check out in English or whatever other language you need to make sure you understand what the Kol Chamir is. They write, I think the Haggadah is supposed to say it three times. Pashas, you don't have to say it three times. It's like Taras Nedarim. You don't have to say it three times. Just three times is a Shachan Yardei. It says, it's a Mechazik it. It brings out the point clear. It means you really mean it. But Mikra Din, you probably don't have to say it three times. Okay, Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach, we know there's a mitzvah of Sreifas Chametz. In other years, I know we've spoken at length about the mitzvah of Sreifas Chametz, so we'll just talk about some major inyanim, I think, that sometimes are overlooked. When it comes to Sreifas Chametz, there's machlokes in the Gemara, in Psachim, how do you get rid of your chametz? Are you supposed to burn it, or you can get rid of your chametz in any way you want? Machlokes of Yehud and the Rabbanim. And machlokes Mishem, how we paskin, and then there's a big machlokes, how is it play out halach l'mais? We're all noyik to burn our chametz, that's why it's known as Sreifas Chametz. We burn our chametz. Meikar Adin, you could take your chametz and throw it in the middle of a peninsula boulevard, or throw it into the ocean, or flush it down your toilet. It also would be a fulfillment of Tashbisu. There's a machloikis achrayim. Rav Moshe was machmir. Let's say, for example, you take your chametz and you put it in your garbage can, and you take your garbage can and you put it in front of your house. So this time of the year, I know by us in Queens, they have extra garbage running every hour. It's like the buses, they're running every hour, the garbage is removal. So you put it in your you own the garbage can, but you're mafke the chametz and you put it in front of your house. So Rav Moshe held that's not sufficient, because Rav Moshe held although you were mafke the chametz, but the cause the chametz is in your garbage can and you own the garbage can, it's still considered in your rishus. So according to Rav Moshe, if you want to get rid of the chametz, you should really put it in a public garbage. Let's say, for example, they have them all throughout Central Avenue. They have these public garbages, so you could take your chametz and put it in that. But if you put your or into your Geisha neighbors, I wouldn't do it to a Jew, I would go to your Geisha neighbor and put it in his garbage. I live in Queens, all the time I see other people's garbages in my garbages. People just on their way, whatever, they just put their garbages in my garbage can. So I would do that if it's not Jewish. So you could put your garbage in a non-Jewish person's garbage can. That would also be a fulfillment of getting rid of it. It's not in your Rishus anymore, you would be okay. But preferably the thing we do is we burn our chametz to fulfill the shita that holds you have to burn. Now I think most people don't make their own fires because it's dangerous and it could be very dangerous. So preferably they have communal burnings, which is fine. But I would just urge, if you're going to go to a communal burning, just ask them if you can throw the chametz in yourself. Because we have a principle of mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucha. Anytime you do a mitzvah, it's always better to do the mitzvah yourself. So if they would let you throw the bread or whatever else you're throwing in, that would be preferable based on the principle of mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucha. There's a chakira in Lomdus, and Chas Chinuch talks about, let's say comes Erev Pesach, you have no chametz. You don't own any chametz. Let's say, for example, you're going away for Yom Tov and you're going to a family, so you sold up all the chametz, and now comes Erev Pesach, you buy your family, your kids, or whatever it may be, and you don't have any chametz. Nothing to burn. Do you have a mitzvah to go out, go to 7-Eleven, buy chametz, now you own chametz, now you burn it. So the shaila is that a mitzvah kiyumis, is that a mitzvah b'shev al ta'as, so that's a big hakir in lomdus, whether or not you should or shouldn't. So if that shaila comes up, you can, yes, you can be machmir. You have nothing to lose by throwing it in, you don't lose too much. The question is, when exactly does this all have to take place? When is Soiv Zman Sreifas Chametz, and when Soiv Zman Achilas Chametz? So again, because we spent so much time when we did the sugyas of Zmanim on these areas, I'm going to just spend a little time reviewing it to make this very clear as much as it can be. There's two things that are relevant in Erev Pesach. The Soiv Zman Achilas Chametz, and Soiv Zman Sreifas Chametz. Whenever you talk about hours, because again, the Mishnah says, you know, chametz has to be eaten until the fourth hour, and it's burnt in the fifth hour. think that's the way it goes. Fourth and fifth hour. So the question is, when's the fourth hour, when's the fifth hour? So we have a huge machlokes between the Vilna Gaon and not the Magen Avraham. Everyone says the Vilna Gaon. It's not really true. It's really the Vilna Gaon versus the Lavush and the Trumas Hadeshin. How to calculate a Jewish day. When does a Jewish day start? Does a Jewish day start from Netz and end in Shkia? Or does it go from Tseis, does it go from Alois till Tseis? That's a classic machlokes that works its way through all the Zman. How does it play out practically? So according to my Zmanim, Soiv Zman Achilas Chometz, if you're going to go according to the Vilna Gaon, it's 10:54 a.m., which means you have up till 10:54 to eat all the chametz you want. However, if you're machmer for the other shita, which they call Magen Avraham, it's not really the Magen Avraham, it's really the Trumas Hadeshen, there's two ways to calculate the Magen Avraham. You either calculate the Magen Avraham that Alois HaShachar is always, that Alois HaShachar is always 72 minutes before Netz, which takes us to 10:30. So most Zmanim you're going to see for Erev Pesach, they're going to put down Soiv Zman Achilas Chometz, according to the Magen Avraham, is 10:30. Based on what we learned, that's probably not the correctest way of doing it. The better way is looking for 16.1 degrees below the horizon, which comes out to be about 4 minutes earlier, 10:26. So if you want to be machmir on Erev Pesach, you should finish eating Chometz by 10:26. Now again, according to the Vilna Gaon, you have up till 10:54. So the question is, what should you do? So the Mishnah Berurah and Hilchas Chometz Taka writes, you should be machmir for the first shita and stop eating Chometz by 10:30 or 10:26. It's somewhat ironic because all those people who get up every Shabbos morning late and say Krishma, which is a deraisa, al smach the Vilna Gaon, they're going to run and burn their chametz earlier because they're chayshish for the Magen Avraham. It's a somewhat of a funny thing. It's a little bit of a tarta disaster. But someone was telling me many shuls don't even put out the Magen Avraham's man. They just put out the Vilna Gaon. So they'll put down on the calendar, Soiv Zman Achilas Chometz 10:54. So if you're a little confused in your shul's man, I don't know what the Yom Kippur puts out, if you're just a little confused, that's a little bit of the background. There's two versions of what they call the Magen Avraham. There's the Magen Avraham that works with the 72 minutes, always being Alois HaShachar, 72 minutes before Netz. Then there's the one that works with the 16.1 degrees, which we think is the more correct version, which is 4 minutes earlier. So if you want to be really, really firm on Erev Pesach, so stop eating Chametz at 10:26. If you want to feel comfortable to be Samech on the Vilna Gaon, then you have up till 10:54. Same thing with burning Chametz. You're going to look at the shul's going to send that Azmanim. Burn Chametz by blank. What's the blank? They're going to give you two Zmanim. One's going to be the Magen Avraham. Now again, just to be honest, the Magen Avraham didn't have a shita about Tzreifas Chametz. The Magen Avraham had a shita about one thing. That was Kriyishma. That was the only time the Magen Avraham weighed in on this issue. Every other time this shayla came up, all the Magen Avraham did was, he said, there's two shitas. When it came to Kriyishma, the Magen Avraham wrote, you should be machmir for the earlier shita. And everyone calls that the Magen Avraham. People say, oh, we're samech on the Magen Avraham's Plag HaMincha. It's mamish a joke. The Magen Avraham never weighed in on Plag HaMincha. It's not his Plag HaMincha. The Magen Avraham weighed in about Kriyat Shema and Kriyat Shema only. But that's the way everyone sends it out, so well, that's what you'll see. So you'll look at your shul's chart, it will say, Seif Zman Tzreifas Chametz Magen Avraham, 11:45. Now that's not really 100% honest. That's 11:45 calculating Alois as 72 minutes before Netz. We mentioned that that's highly questionable if that's the right way to calculate it. The more correct way to calculate it, and this is all on my Zmanim, is 16.1 degrees below the horizon, takes us to 11:43. 2 minute difference. Now again, if you go like the Vilna Gaon, you have till 11:57. So these are all some of the cheshbonos that you have to keep in mind when navigating through Erev Pesach about Seif Zman Achila, Seif Zman Tzreifa. You have these two sheets. You have A, the Magen Avraham versus the Vilna Gaon. And in the Magen Avraham's world, there's two sheets of the Magen Avraham to keep in mind. But that's...
When does he become on Erev Pesach become a deraisa?
So that's a shayla, exactly when it becomes. It could be more chomer than we think earlier in the day, depending on different ways of learning a Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim Dav Beis. I'm a chlekes in the Gemara, but it's not so pashut. But it's definitely not as chomer as we think it is, as let's say on Pesach proper. But we should be machmir again. Mishnah Berurah writes you should be machmir, which means according to this, you should stop eating chametz by 10:30 and burn the chametz by, I think, either 11:45 or 11:43. So that's just a little bit Erev Pesach again. We'll repeat this one more time. On Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat kibrokst. Even if you normally eat kibrokst, and Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat kibrokst. So just make sure before you eat cookies and cakes on Erev Pesach, you find out from whoever you're eating from if it's kibrokst or not. We don't eat kibrokst baked. There are those that are made with kibrokst that are cooked. Let's say, for example, you want to eat kreplach, or you want to eat gefilte fish. That's cooked matzah meal. That, the Mishnah Berurah is made, although the Shaar Tzion later on writes to be machmir, that's a machloikis. But baked, anything baked should be machmir. So on Erev Pesach, you're very limited to what you can eat. You can't eat matzah, you can't eat chametz, you can't even eat kibrokst. So you got to eat the potato starch, whatever potato starch is the best option. That's for with regard to Erev Pesach. Okay. Now we'll start what we were supposed to talk about, and we'll sidetrack again a couple more times. There's always a big question about what matzahs to use for the Seder. This is also a very big topic of conversation, which matzahs are the right matzahs to use. So I put over here on the sheet a little bit of a very quick recap of the shittas. This is from the Sefer Kovetz Halachos. This is by the Sefer written by Shmuel Kamenetsky's Talmud. He's a Rav in Flatbush. He writes this. Much literature has been written about machine matzah versus hand matzah. Halalu oisrim v'halalu matirim v'oisrim heim. Okay, who are those that were against machine matzah? So we have Reb Shlomo Kluger, the Chedushei Harim, the Avnei Nezer, the Divrei Chaim, the Sanze Rebbe was adamantly against machine matzahs. That was one of his big tshuvas. Umeidach yisay rabba amatir, but there were plenty very chashuv rabbanim that were matrit. Who were those? That's the Sholom Eishel, the Sholom Eishev, the Ksav Sefer, the Aruch Lener, Tvars Yisrael, v'oid gedolim. Many achreim. So you have a big split amongst gedolim of, you know, 200 years ago that were already at split at the issue. What were the main issues with machine matzahs? So issue number one is chametz. Chashash chametz, which today is somewhat debated. And issue number two is maybe the bigger issue is lishma. Can you create lishma by pushing a button? Does lishma require more than just having pushing a button where it's causing things to happen? Is that enough to be lishma? Now this is not really a matzah shayla. This is the same shayla by tzitzis. Tzitzis also needs to be made lishma. They make tzitzis now in machines also, so you have the same shayla. So that's always been the issue with matzah. What's interesting is, again, it ended up splitting between the Chassidishas and the Yekis. Chassidim will not touch Mishim Matzah, not for the Seder, not throughout Pesach. You know, you go on a Cholamay trip, and you know how you could tell who's what. The Chassidim are always the ones with the hand matzah. They're not going to bring the Mishim Matzah, not on Cholamay, not on the trips, nothing. It's only hand matzah. The Yekis are makbid the Lehepach. The Yekis are makbid, they only use Mishim Matzah. They don't even use the hand matzah at all. The Litvish Chevra, I think, are somewhat split. I think for Leil Seder, most Litvish people are machmir to use hand matzah, but I think they will be somewhat comfortable using Mishim Matzah for Cholamay and others. It's interesting, in Yerushalayim, in the early 1900s, the beginning of the 1900s, everyone in Yerushalayim were all using machine matzahs. Reb Shlomo Zalman and Reb Eliyashiv, they were all using machine matzahs. Why? Because at those years in Yerushalayim, the machine matzahs were better than the hand matzahs. It wasn't until Reb Chaim Kanievsky married Reb Eliyashiv's daughter. Chaim Kanievsky came from Bnei Brak. So in Bnei Brak, his uncle, the Chazon Ish, had his own matzah industry going. He had his own connection. So he was baking matzahs hand properly. So when Reb Chaim Kanievsky married Reb Eliyashiv's daughter, it was the first time the Eliyashiv family was introduced to hand matzah. So he brought from his father, he brought from his uncle, from the Chazon Ish, he brought hand matzah. So this was the first time the Eliyashiv family ever had hand matzah. The East of all the years. Rebbetzin Kanievsky says all the years growing up, she always had machine matzah when she was a kid. Because in Yerushalayim, everyone ate. Reb Shlomo Zalman, everyone ate. I was just in the grocery store today, and I met a fellow. He told me, "No, you're buying machine matzahs for the Seder?" I said, "I don't know. And if I was, I probably wouldn't tell you." But he told me, "What do you mean, Yerushalayim, everyone used to eat machine matzah?" I said, "I know. That was true back in the day when hand matzahs weren't as good as they are today. Today, the hand matzahs are pretty good. So it's a question of what you're allowed to use." And my Rosh Hashiva, Abzal Gapsin, says of a story once that his accountant told him that he asked him, he said, "Did you buy in hand matzahs for the Seder?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's a tax write-off." He said, "So why is it a tax write-off?" He said, "You're a Rosh Hashiva, you have a lot of Talmidim. If your Talmidim would find out that you're not using hand matzah, it would be a big pagam in your job. It would affect your business. So you, for your job, you need to buy hand matzahs. Because if you're going to buy machine matzahs, and you're a Rosh Hashiva, you have a lot of Talmidim, it's not going to look good." I don't think he was masking to the cheshbon. I don't know if it's such a good cheshbon. I got discussed it with your accountant. But today, I think most Litvish people, I think we're machmir to use machine matzah, hand matzah for Leil Sedarim, and afterwards we use machine. Rebbe Eliyashiv is quoting based on the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon held based on the pasuk. It says in the Torah you're supposed to eat matzah 7 days. So no one knows what does that mean. You're supposed to eat matzah for 7 days. You know, you have to eat matzah every single day. So the Vilna Gaon says that every single time you eat matzah, you eat a mitzvah. So based on that Vilna Gaon, Rebbe Eliyashiv and others were machmir to eat throughout all 7 days, to always eat machine matzah, to be yaitzah this Vilna Gaon. That's questionable. But there are people that are machmir to eat machine, and there are people that are machmir to eat hand. The question is, I put on the paper, what happens if, let's say for example, you're a Litvish guy, and you marry a Yekish girl, and you come to the Seder for the first year, and all of a sudden you're looking around, all there is machine matzah. There's no hand matzah to be found anywhere. Or vice versa. You're a Yekish guy marries a Chassidish girl. Sometimes it'd be a sight to see, an interesting, see how things would play out. But, you know, he's a chassidish guy. He never heard of Mishim Matzahs in his life. He marries a Yekesh girl, and all they have is Mishim Matzahs. What does he do? So we'll see in a few minutes. There's actually a Shaila Nachraidim. What does he do? Matan Neder. What do you do in such a case? Or more common, you find yourself in a strange situation where you possibly don't have. All you have is Mishim Matzah. You can't find Hen Matzah, whatever the case may be. Do you have to actually be Matan Neder to be able to eat the Mishim Matzah, or vice versa? That's not so, not so the case. Yeah, we were talking about Shmur. Yeah, for the start. So if you look very quickly, number three over here, I quote from Rabbi Yitzchak Gabari. So that's a question that Achrenim talk about. They go so far as to say, let's say, for example,
like a different religion, right?
Oh, they talk about it. Let's say I go on a Chol HaMoed trip with a bunch of Chassidish people, and we all sit down together at the table, and I have my hand, and they have their machine. Is that considered that we're eating together? Because they would never eat my bread, and I would never eat their bread, and where they Achrenim go even so far. Is it Muktzah? Let's say, for example, you have Mishim Matzah in your house, and you're Chassidish. Is it Muktzah on Shabbos? Because you would never eat it, you would never use it. It gets a little extreme. I find it hard to believe. But again, I think today, I can't vouch for all Chassidim. I think most Chassidim today would not allow to have Mishim Matzah in their house. They would tell you to take it out.
Bread, yes, but not Mishim Matzah.
What? Yeah. Chashash Chometz. Bread, they tell you they sold to the guy. But this Techreshish. If Yitzchak Abadi has an interesting Chiddush over here, where he writes, they asked him, what about using Mishim Matzah for the Leil Seder? He wrote, Bivadai. For sure you can use it. Number three, he writes, V'yadua hasipur, and it's a famous story, I'm going to business, Zalman Meltzer, Shepam eviu loy matzas yad shenefu b'erev Pesach. They once brought him ham matzas baked on Erev Pesach. Well, we spoke about it on Sunday morning, Erev Pesach matzas is a real, real special treat. It's extra from matzah. It's a mehudah dike matzah. V'hedif lechel mimatzah mechuna shahiloy. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, the great goyin, the father-in-law of a Baron Cutler, decided to go for the Mishim Matzah. Shekacha yinoig b'choshana. Because that's what he always ate. So Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was also a big believer in Mishim Matzah. He didn't eat hand matzah, and he didn't eat Erev Pesach matzahs. So we spoke on Sunday about some of the issues with Erev Pesach matzahs. They could present other issues, but Rabbi Zalman would eat Mishim Matzah.
So he writes in the bottom of it,
Yitzchak Gabari lives today. He's a Rav in Lakewood. He says there's absolutely, in his mind, no difference. They're both equally lishma, they're both equally mishumar from chametz. He writes, but he thinks they're mamish equally the same, there's no difference. I wrote over here from the Sefer Shari HaMoyadim, it's a Sefer written by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I think this comes from Lubavitcher Menhagim. He writes, this is an interesting meaning of Chabad. When it comes to Chabad, from what I understand, Lubavitcher have a lot of chumras in Pesach. A lot of chumras. My wife was on one of these chats that are preparing for Pesach, and she keeps on asking me, we're not Makbar on this, we're not. I said, that's because we're not Lubavitch. They have a set different chumras. A lot, I never heard of some really, really big, a lot of interest out the chumras I never heard of, I wasn't familiar with. But I call it Fiyah Minig. When it comes to Pesach, everything is Minig based. But they have a lot of big chumras that I never heard of before. So he writes over here that when it comes to Chabad, even if you Makbar, let's say, Lashruya, that's what we call today gebrakst, right? You don't want to make the matzah wet. So, or other hidurim, yuchayim lahakel, you could be mekel. You know, machnish don't, not so bad. Avol loy b'negei lematzah shamachuna. But mishim matzah, that we're not going to budge on. Why? Listen to this. Ki matzah inyone emuna. Because we know matzah is connected to emuna. V'tzrichim la'avid alzeh kvar mekatnos. If that's something you got to work on from the young age, emuna is not something you take lightly. You got to start at a young age. Emuna only comes through the hand matzah, not through the machine matzah. Interesting idea. Okay, but lemaisa, it's definitely what to talk about, that they're probably as equally acceptable. If you look at the end of number five, I quote from Shmuel Kamenetsky where he talks about, let's say, for example, you need to switch over 1 year. For all your life you used one, and now because of pressing situations, you can only use the other. Is that a problem? Do you have to be mataned? How do you get around it? So if you look at number five, Shmuel Kamenetsky writes at the end, he says, Al-Kulpanim v'adei ledinoi motoi lechol matzas mechuna. You can definitely use machine. V'gam yochel lechatchila likar machmat zuchunu lekazayis matzal labishu shapesach me'eza si beroitze bekach. If you have any reason for why you want to use machine, don't think twice, you can use machine. Vein tzarech lehatan neder. You don't need to be matan neder, it's fine. Very easy, shekein hoyra agoin b'shem zaman orbach. So was also the ruling of b'shem zaman orbach. Again, because b'shem zaman himself did that. For a good bulk of his life, he used machine and he switched over the hand and doesn't say he was matan neder. They're both viable options to using for Pesach. I wrote over here number seven for Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They asked Mechaim Kanevsky, "Mish ain't ochel matzah mechuna. Someone doesn't eat machine. Ve'ein le'matzah avodis yad b'leivishin. He has no hand matzah. He's stuck. Him yochel matzah mechuna. Should he eat the machine? V'dilma tzarech hatar sedar. Tshuva tzarech heter." Chaim Kanevsky held. I guess it's given you should eat the machine matzah. That he doesn't speak out, but he held the tak after matzah neder. So it seems to be a machlokes achrayim between Chaim Kanevsky and Shmuel Zalman Orbach, and Shmuel Kamenetsky, I guess, weighs in as well about whether or not this idea of not eating machine matzah is so chomer, vice versa, that you might have to be matzah neder if you did otherwise for other years. But again, as we mentioned earlier, Reb Shlomo Zalman was not noig that way. Reb Shlomo Zalman himself would eat hand matzah. Reb Shlomo Zalman did not have such a chomer. Okay. That's a Shabbat. It's another more complicated Shabbat. Matan Neder and Shabbos. I think if it's right. I think the way it works is you can be Matan if it's Letzarech Yom Tov. I think one could be Matan Neder. So the problem is we have a principle that when you do an Hagat Toivo, when you do a Chumrah, it becomes a Neder, maybe even automatically. That's one of the things we speak about. If you do an Hagat Toivo, that's why any Hagat Toivo, anything a good person does, he should always make sure he says B'nei Neder. You know, the guy came early to Shacharis twice because whatever, you know, his wife woke him up early by mistake, whatever the case may be. I don't want it to become an Neder. I have to come to Shacharis early all the time. So everything we try to do B'nei Neder. So most of these things could be included in Atar Sadarim on our yearly Atar Sadarim, but that's a Shaila. Do you have to really be Matan Neder or not? Okay. What else do we have over here? I put over here an interesting piece from Rabbi Belsky, Zatzal, Shulchan Alevi. Everyone knows that Rav Moshe was of the Yeshita, you're not allowed to use grape juice for Dalet Kaisis. That's one of Rav Moshe's famous psakim. You're not allowed to use grape juice for Dalet Kaisis. You have to use Dalet Kaisis. It has to be some form of an alcoholic capacity, capability. It's not enough to use grape juice. Okay. There happens to be another Mechudosh Dikashita that's worth mentioning from Rabbi Yoshev. Rabbi Yoshev didn't think that grape juice is even halachically considered wine. Rabbi Yoshev had a big chiddush based on a bunch of different things in brachas that he wasn't sure you even allowed to make a hagafen on grape juice. He was extremely skeptical to think that grape juice has the din of yayin, because based on how you learn a gemara in the sixth parak of brachas about what makes wine special, one of the nekudas is that it has the ability to be misameach you. Grape juice can't do that. Therefore, Rabbi Yoshev was very skeptical to believe grape juice has any halachic status of wine. Most Achrenim disagreed with Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. They wrote extensively about this topic. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Shmuel Voznan, and all the contemporary of his generation, they all argued. And the argument that they have is that the Gemara talks about something that sounds a little bit like grape juice, but the Gemara talks about something which lacks the ability to be alcoholic. The Gemara talks about such a beverage, the Gemara Baba Basra. So the Gemara makes it sound like if it lacks the ability to turn alcoholic, it's Taka Nati Yayin. So why is this any different? So there's a bunch of different answers back and forth. One answer they say is that grape juice, Reb Shlomo Zalman's lumdus is, but etzem grape juice should become alcoholic. You tampered with it. That was your doing. When it came out of the grapes, it had all the ability in the world to become alcoholic. Narvas, you had outside forces tampering with it. That doesn't count. That's one way he answered it. Others answered that, I'm not sure this is true, but if you take grape juice and you leave it long enough in the sun or other temperatures, it can return to become alcoholic, although they put chemicals in it to stop it from becoming alcoholic. I'm not sure, that's what they say, but that was a big argument. But Rabbi Yashiv held that it's mamish ashayil if you can use it for any dovish or bekdusha that you need yayin, whether it be dal kaisis, kiddush, avdala. Rabbi Yashiv even went a step further. There's halacha in Shulchan Aruch that if I, and we spoke about this in the Tuesday night share a few months ago, if I have a cup of wine, so halacha is my wine patters all my drinks. I don't have to make a shahakal. So if I go to a kiddush, and I have a certain amount of wine, and then there's schnapps and soda, I don't have to make a bracha mishan on any of those beverages that are in front of me. That's the halacha. Yayin poiter kol minei mashke. So Rabbi Yashiv said, yeah, not grape juice. Not grape juice. If you go to a kiddush where there's only grape juice, there's no wine on the table, and it's just grape juice, and you make kiddush and grape juice, so that's A, question, if you can make kiddush and grape juice. B, says Rabbi Yashiv, but you'd have to make a bracha mishan on all the drinks on the table. Grape juice does not carry that type of power, and it does not potter. Again, most Achrayim disagree with Rabbi Yashiv, but that was the opinion of Rabbi Yashiv. So it's probably kedai to stay away from the grape juice, unless you need to. Wine is probably a better bet. When it comes to
the,
yeah.
Oh,
I want to get to that right now. So let's get to that right now. So when we talk about wine, so everyone says, okay, I'm going to be machmir for Rav Moshe, and I'm not going to use grape juice, I'm going to use wine. Now, just to be fair, balanced, and honest, there are many very chashav achrayim that held you can use grape juice including the Biskurov and the Chabinarov and the Chazinish, a lot of very, very chashev people that held you could use grape juice for
Dalit.
They themselves used it. Again, a lot of them used it because they had issues with wine, whether health reasons or other reasons. Again, for women and children, obviously, 4 cups of wine is not the best idea. It's probably much safer to use grape juice. But a person knows about himself. He knows he's not going to be able to handle it. He's going to get sick, nauseous. He's not going to be able to make the end of the Seder. Rav Shechter always says over that he used to learn with a chavrusa doctor, and he said the two busiest nights in the emergency room are the two nights of Pesach. He said that people come in all the time. They think they're having a heart attack. They had too much matzah and too much murder and too much wine. They think the world is coming to an end. He said that Rav Shechter was going on to give it as a musa shmuz. He was saying it's mamash achil Hashem. That's not right. Leil Pesach is supposed to be Leil Cheir. It's not Leil ending up in a hospital room. You got to be careful. If you can't handle it, you got to make sure you're eating things. Discuss it with your doctor before Pesach. But so people don't want to drink wine. That's fine. But let's say you want to be machmir for Rav Moshe. Then you have those people saying, so you're getting 4% alcohol. You're not even getting Rav Moshe. Because according to Rav Moshe, that's not wine. Wine is 12%, 10%. That's Rav Moshe's wine. So Rav Belsky writes a tshuva where he really says that's not correct. He writes over here number 9 in Shulchan Alevi. He writes, "Vihine, his charnu sheyain mazuk uchelik aleph yain the gemara halakim." In the times of the Gemara, they did something called diluting. They used to dilute the wine. It was a 1-3 ratio. The imhayu biyain 40% alcohol. Rabbi Belsky has his cheshbon that the wines back then weren't like 175% alcohol. They were also around 14% alcohol. So, Dr. Rabbi Belsky, haril achra meziga. So, if you follow that ratio of a 14% alcohol with a 1-3 ratio, so what was the wine left with in the times of the Gemara? Yeah, 3.5 alcohol. The whole alcohol in the times of the Gemara was only 3.5. So when you go to the wine, today it's called Kal. You buy Concord Kal, it's 3.5%, that's fine. Zok to Rebelsky, that's what they did in the times of the Gemara. Are you from it in the Gemara? That's what they did. Alcohol So Zotar Rebelsky, what's everyone get? And you hear this all the time. No, I need to have 8%. That's the magic number. 7%. Where did those magical numbers come from? However, he does write, but there's a Rambam. He says, but the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Shayayin shal adal kais bepesach, yesh lemoizgo kidei shidei shtia ariva, hakol lefi ayayin, u lefi das ha-shoyseh. The Rambam says, it's not just a general rule, what's called yayin. It depends on the drinker. Says Rabbi Belsky in Lechedim, other magish sheyayin shal 3.5 who can make mitzvah of him. If for you 3.5 is like good, it's like fruit juice, it's absolutely no bearing on your mindset or your attitude. Maybe you should take a higher, stronger alcohol content. It's not accomplishing what it's supposed to properly accomplish. He needs even less than that. You got to find something that works for you, puts you at a nice place. Again, even if at 3.5 you have enough of it, it does put you, again, I'm not saying you're going to get drunk and you're not going to be able to function, but it does give you some form of an alcoholic kick. So I think I think Rav David Feinstein also says, according to his father, that holds you need to have alcohol. I think he also says lower numbers, 4%, 5%, that's also enough to be yoytze to the din of having alcohol yayin. So that's the chayra, something that we should keep in mind. There's no mitzvah necessarily to buy the strongest yayin. You could be yoytze with something like that as well. This year, because the first night of the Seder is Friday night, so we have a couple of interesting things that play out. First major change that we have is in the davening. When it comes to the Friday night davening, so there's an interesting, big machloikis v'shein, believe it or not, do we say me'ein avos in the Friday night davening? Huge machloikis v'shein, believe it or not. Something which most of us don't even think about when it comes to Pesach. So many we call bigger fish to fry, but you know, whether we say vayichulu Friday night, you know. But the big machlokes rishonim, many rishonim said that we don't say vayichulu, and the reason why we don't say vayichulu is why do we say vayichulu in the first? Not vayichulu. Why do we say the main avos? Why do we have that little addition to the ma'ariv Friday night? Because we have the people who came late to shul and they were still behind, so we wanted to keep diving a little longer so they don't have to walk back alone because it's dangerous. So the argument they say is many rishonim right, but leil Pesach is leil shemurim. We don't have to be nervous about any of these things, so there's no reason to say it. Therefore, it's omitted. Other Rishonim, Mamash Rishonim, and other more Sifrei Kabbalah, they disagreed. They said, no, although we have a principle that Leil Shemurim, but not if it's a Shchichi Hazekah. We know that there's potentially harm here. Again, we don't say Leil Pesach, you should run in the middle of a moving bus and assume that nothing's going to happen because it's Leil Shemurim. That's not what it means. It means you don't have to be as nervous, but something which is Shchichi Hazekah, there's clearly something in front of you, you have to suspect it's going to harm you. So it became a big machlokes. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, as the Beis Yosef explains in the Torah, the minig is we don't say Me'in Ovis. We say Vayichulu. So right after the Shtilah Shemen Esrei Friday night, we're going to go straight to Vayichulu, and then straight to Kaddish or to Halal, depending on your minig. So again, if you don't say Halal, so you're going to say Vayichulu, and that's it. Vayichulu straight to Yiskadel, and that's the end of. Then you go Aleinu, that's the end of the Ma'ariv. If you daven in a Nusach Sfard Minyan or a minute that says Halal, so you're going to go first Vayichulu, then the Halal, and then you say the Kaddish afterwards. So Maisa, we paskin that we don't say it. Bavad Yosef has quite a lengthy tshuva in Yabi Yomer about this topic, to say it or not to say it. He quotes a bunch of different Rishonim, but he talks about, let's say, Bidyevit. Let's say, someone started the bracha. Should you finish the bracha? All kinds of discussion about, but it's brought down in Sifrei Kabbalah that there are those who do say it, the Minhag Olam is not to say it. If you say Halal, so you can attach another 10 minutes to your davening, at least, maybe even another 15 minutes, depending on who the Baal Tefillah is. So here's where things always get a little hard to understand. We know that when it comes to Leil Seder, we can't apply the rule of Tesfis Shabbos V'Yomtiv. We have a rule called Tesfis Shabbos V'Yomtiv. I can usher in Shabbos early. I can make potentially Yomtiv early because I'm mimakabel it after Plaga Mincha. We know the one time you can't for sure is Pesach. You can't make early Pesach and Shavuos, which we always need to talk about, and Rosh Hashanah. Why can't you? Yeah. But that's
actually, which holiday can you do?
The problem is there's no Yom Tov and you're left with it. That's the problem. Sukkot you can't because of the Hekesh. Yeah, so I think each Yom Tov we spoke about separately what the issue is about whether or not you can. There's a steer in two Taisim in Taisim Subis and Taisim Tzachim. We've over the past have spoken about it. I'm sure Blin Ed, when we get closer to Shavuos, we'll talk about it. Whether or not you can make early Shavuos. Now, most people don't want to make early Shavuos. Because if you make early Shavuos, that just means more time for learning and you're staying up a lot later. But in some parts of the world, you might have to make an early Shavuos. In some of the European countries, if you don't make early Shavuos, you have very few hours of learning. By the time the way it sets in the summer, it's very few hours of learning. So that's what we spoke about when we did Zmanim a little bit. Blinad will talk about it by Shavuos. So we know we can't make early Pesach. What can't you do early? The Prima Gadim writes Mefurish, or the Prima Gadim writes, you could have a Ma'ariv early this Friday night. You could have a Ma'ariv Bizmanai. The only thing you can't do early is start the Seder. Kiddush. Now there's a Chayk Yaakov who quotes Maril who says you can really start the Seder, you can't start Karpas. But we're Machmu, we don't start Kaddish. So let's just say for argument's sake, Tzeisek Echavim is 8:10 this Friday night, which is probably even earlier, but that's Rav Moshe's man. Rav Moshe's 50 minutes is 8:10. That means at 8:10, you should be starting the Seder, which means the Becher is already full, and you're about to start, Yom HaShishi Vayichul. Not first starting Ma'ariv, not first starting Halal, and not first start coming home and looking for pillows and Haggadahs. Shulchan Aruch writes that we're supposed to start the Seder as soon and quickly as we possibly can. Now, in many shuls, there's unnecessarily wasted time, Leil Pesach. So let's just play the schedule. If Mincha starts, whatever, it's going to be 7 o'clock, 7:10, give or take. Yeah, Mincha's over by 7:30. In my opinion, you start Ma'ariv right then and there, because you can start Ma'ariv early. And if you're going to say Halal, are you allowed to say Halal before Tzeisek Echavim? So Rav Avad Yosef has a tshuva, and there's a Yitzchak Abadi, where they all say, absolutely yes. There's no reason why Halal and Shul can't be said after Tzeis, that could be said earlier. So you put up a beautiful Baal Tefillah, let him sing every part of Halal he's ever heard of, and this way it's now 10 to 8, you got to walk home, you say Gan Yantav to the Rabbi, you're in your house, 8:10, your mama starts the Seder 8:10. I think if you start the Seder 8:10, I think you can really get to Afikoyim by Chatzos. Chatzos is about 12:57. You give yourself hours, that's a bunch of hours. There's really no reason why it can't be done. The problem is we don't start so quickly. We take our sweet time until we get around to it. But Lamai says we should really try our utmost best to start on time. Really? The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, everything should be done before Chatzos. Halal, all the crazy things should be done before Chatzos. That, because of the language of the Rishonim, no one is so machmir with. They're just machmir with Afikayim. But really, yeah, 100%. In my house, I try to get everything done before Chatzos to be Yaitzid Shita. I was just reading a sefer this afternoon from Rav Pam. Rav Pam wrote that, it's not right. What goes on in this home is everyone rushes the star. I mean, it's not fair. You have grandparents there, and you have the parents there, and they want to see some machas, and you keep on shushing the kids because you're worried about Chatzos. So Rav Pam That was Rambam's attitude about a lot of things in life. He thought that wasn't right. He thought, don't worry, make your tanai. He didn't think it's right to shush the kids. I always say, Baruch Hashem, in America, we have 2 days. I always tell the kids, tomorrow night, get to it tomorrow night. I don't know what they're doing in Eretz Yisrael. They only have 1 night. They really got to cram it in 1 night's worth of material. But again, if we keep the Seder moving, I think there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to get to everything before Chatzis. I'm driving in today. Someone told me, I want you to give a shir Friday night between Mincha and Ma'ariv. I said, Chas v'Shalom, why would I give a shir? I think it's not right to waste time. Why would I give a shir to waste more time when I think we should be starting the Seder? No, a few minutes. I said 2 minutes, tops. I don't want to waste any more time. I want everyone to start the Seder when they should. The problem is... That's why I should speak about it. We shouldn't be wasting time. Halavai, yeah. I think we should try that. The problem is this year, the first night is Friday night, which means it's Shabbos. So because it's Shabbos, the first cup now becomes a deraisa. Now, Dalet Kaisis are the Rabbanon, but the first cup is a mix of a deraisa and a Rabbanon. So the shayla that I got, someone asked me the shayla last night, and I found that Rav Soloveitchik clears a similar shayla. We know that there's different rules for Dalet Kaisis as there is for Kiddush. We'll go with the shayla that this fellow asked me last night. This fellow told me he went shopping and he bought all the bechers that they're going to use at the Seder, and they're all 4.0 ounces. Okay. Now, how big is a revius? The halacha is the kais must hold the revius. Now, how big is a revius? So when we did this, we said it varies anywhere between 3 to 6 ounces, depending on whom you want to go like. Most people assume with Rav Moshe Shir. Rav Moshe Shir is that for a deraisa, it's 4.42 ounces. So here's where it gets tricky. For derabanan, you can get away with 3.8. For deraisa, it's going to be 4.42. This guy is exactly 4.0. So this year, it's Friday night. So the first kais is deraisa. But, the fellow told me, he's the balabas, he's the father of the house. He'll make kiddush, be mighty the whole family, then they'll drink their own kais. So, here's the shayla, how does this work in Lomdus? Is the pshat that his kiddush of Shemei Koina is on this becher, and all the other bechers are just representations of the dalet kaisis, which means it could follow the Rabbanan's rules? Or no? Or maybe even in the Shemei Koina world, it's still working as if this kais is a representation of Kiddush, and therefore it has to be a larger shir. That was the shayla the fellow asked. So I told him there's a similar shayla that Rav Shechter quotes from Rav Soloveitchik. He claims it a little different case. In Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Kiddush, the Mechaber has two opinions if you're allowed to use yain mevushal for Kiddush. This we spoke about also at length when we did these sugyas. Right? Many people who have hired help or non-Jewish help people in the house, they don't want to have yayin that's non-mevushal because then you always have to tape the bottle and run around with the bottle and make sure no one's touching it. So you buy mevushal. But there's a shita in Rishayim that mevushal is not only not mehudr, you even make a shahako on yayin mevushal. Such a shita is in Rishayim and Baba Basra. So the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions. Can you use mevushal for Kiddush and Shabbos or not? When it comes to Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything. He just writes, you can use mevushal for the dalet kaisis. So I was always troubled by this. Why is it such a davar pashit, and by Kiddush it's two shitas? So if Soloveitchik explains, because there's different sets of rules. The rules for dalet kaisis are not the same rules that are for Kiddush. Two different rules. So Claire of Soloveitchik, what do you do, like let's say a Friday night? Let's say for Friday night the Bala boss wants to use Yayin Mevushal. So the question is, so he's using Yayin Mevushal, and I want to be Machmir not to use Mevushal. So I have in my cup non-Mevushal wine. The Mekadish has in his cup Mevushal wine. But is this cup my Kiddush? Or is this cup my Dal Kaisis? And that cup is my Kiddush. So if you look very quickly, number 8, in Nefesh HaRav, he clears such a shayla. He writes, Yesh L'Stapik, Im Sagi B'Masha Mekadish Yesh L'Koshel Yayin She'in Mevushal, is it enough that the Mekadish has, let's say, a cup that's kosher, that's not Mevushal, V'She'in Basuka B'Ara Kaisir Rishon, U'Shar B'nei Abayisir Yaitim D'Chavasa Kiddush Masha Shem Menu, and I'm Yaitz with whatever I hear. U'Masha Tzrichim Heim Lishnis Kaisil Atzim Zem Mekach Mitzvah Scheres. My drinking of this cup is not a Kiddush cup. This cup is a dalet kaisis cup. Soloveitchik backed it up on Yushami. Yushami says dalet kaisis you can use mevush. I the name, or maybe not. No, the lomdus is not that you have to have four cups and the first cup happens to be Kiddush. The first cup becomes Kiddush. Every person's first cup becomes a cup of Kiddush. That was Soloveitchik's argument. Which means in my case, back to my case, if that's correct, this fellow has to buy bigger bechers. He can't get away with using a 4.0 becher. So what is Rav Soloveitchik? Rav Shechter quotes over at the end, V'das Rabbeinu, how you know the Yoisel Atzad Hasheni. Rav Soloveitchik was leaning towards the second way, which means, in my case, you would not be allowed to use a 4.0, you'd have to use a 4.2. So I was not sure if Rav Soloveitchik passed like this lahalocha, or this was more of just an alumnus conversation. So I grabbed called a certain Paisik and Lake, but I asked him, how do we pass in lahalocha? He thought we're makel. Not like Rav Soloveitchik Sad L'chumri. He thought that as long as it's Shemei Kaine, as long as this is just a Dal Kaisis Dikka Cup and you could be Mekel. But that's a Shaila that comes up this year specifically because it's Friday night. This Shaila does come up about is there more room to be Machmer on the first cup? Because the first cup over here is also functioning as, we'll call it, a backup Kaisal Kiddush, because it's also functioning as my Kiddush cup. Okay.
I'm sorry, Rabbi, on a regular Friday night, if a Baal Bus makes Kiddush, do I, as a participant in the meal, have to make Kiddush? Do I have to taste it?
No.
I mean,
it's a Shomei Kaine.
But I can't go that way.
No, because here, right.
Because that's a din in Cheres, each person
needs their own cup. That's correct. So the question of salvation, and it's a very lumbish Shaila, does it somehow become that we're, it's not two separate things, Kiddush and Dalet Kaisis. The first cup becomes Kiddush, and Kiddush becomes the first cup, and all the rules have to become one. That was of salvation Shaila, which again, as we just mentioned, has quite a few halachic ramifications in these types of Shailas, right, because...
If the Baal Bus would have had the 4.42, whatever.
So that would be fine.
If had 3, that would be fine.
Not according to salvation.
But why not? No,
because according to salvation, no. Right, no, because if salvation's second side of this chakir was, that's not the way it works. The way it works is that my first cup is Kiddush, and I have to treat it like a Kiddush cup.
Mine, in other words, one of the people
right here. Even though I'm hearing Kiddush from the Baal Bus. Uh-huh. So according to salvation, you would not be allowed to use that. So that's an interesting shaila. Another interesting shaila that comes up this year specifically because it's Shabbos is what do you do with Shal Shudas on Shabbos day? That this year, you have a big problem. Because the first day of Pesach is Shabbos, and you have to eat Shal Shudas. But you're not allowed to eat too much on every Erev Yom Tov, specifically on Erev Pesach, or Erev the Starim, you're not allowed to eat too much matzah because we're afraid you're not going to want to be able to eat the Seder. So there's a couple of options. Option number one is to really daven earlier Shabbos morning. You should really try to find an earlier minyan, daven early, eat your lunch a little earlier. Then, here where it depends. If you can find an earlier mincha, because the Ramon Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon was very makbid, as was Rav Soloveitchik, that you're really supposed to eat Shal Shudas after mincha. Based on a Rambam, there's an order of sequence of events, Shal Shudas is supposed to take place after mincha. So if you could find an early mincha, that would probably be the best option. That's not always such an option, because most people don't want to get up that early the first morning after Pesach. It's not like it's not one of those 5 days where you want to get up early throughout the year, so you want to daven normally, you don't want to be rushed. I got to have a bris on Shabbos, this Shabbos, so I'm not getting through the davening that fast, so I got to figure out what to do. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that if you're not starting your meal till after Chatzos, which many of us will, Chatzos is 12:57. If you're diving at a 9 o'clock minyan and they're taking their time and this, that, and the other, and they're selling aliyahs, and it could be close to it. So Mr. Bruce says you should split your meal into two. You should have a break in the middle of the meal. The minute is you get up, you take a walk, you go around. You can also stop and learn, and just stop the meal. But people like to go out. Hopefully the weather will be nice. I was just telling my kids, it's ironic. The Torah defines the Yom Tov of Pesach as Chodesh Av of the spring. This morning I was freezing. I don't know about anyone else. I was very cold. I didn't feel any spring. Although it's spring on the calendar, I don't see it being reflected like that in the weather, but it's supposed to get better in the next couple of days. So you take a walk, and then you have your second meal. You have to stop eating anything of substance by 4:12 this year. In the New York area. So you don't have that much time really to play with. So you really have to try to figure out the best way to eat a Shal Shudas. Some places can hold that you can get away with eating mezainis. Now, if you don't eat kibroxed, it's not going to help you. You don't have mezainis. So then you're going to start eating peiris. So then that's very bidyevit. Then some people throw around this thing that you eat a Shal Shudas with Torah. That's really made up, in all honesty. It's not true. The only time that concept was ever found was based on an Arizal. The Kavachayim brings an Arizal, that the Arizal was talking about when Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos. The Arizal said, for people of Madrega, they could be Yetzir through Talmud Torah. Right? Those shuls that schedule the Shabbos HaGadol, that it goes through Shal Shabbos, they're all Saimich on this. I never thought they were Saimich on. This doesn't exist. This is not true. This Arizal was not, and the Arizal writes, it's not supposed to be used for everyone, it's not supposed to be used every single week. It's only when Erev Pesach Shechaliyah is B'Shabbos. So a person should really try to rearrange the schedule in a way that you're able to have a proper Shal Shabbos, the way it should be done. Again, when we did the Sugi of Shal Shudas, we mentioned this, the Gemara says that Shal Shudas is supposed to save us from Gog Magog. It's a pretty good insurance policy. You don't want to shortchange yourself. So you want to make sure you're doing it right. So try to schedule your meal or have a shorter meal for lunch, which might be a good idea anyways because you have to get to the Seder. So just have a smaller meal, wrap it up quicker, and try to have a second meal. This way you should be able to get everything done. There's another interesting Shal that comes up this year. By the second Seder, we have Havdalah. So there's a machlokes achrim, should you put the two candles together to create an avuka? We know that there's a minhag, it's halacha, we try to have an avuka for Avdallah. But I have over here on the sheets from Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky held that you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. It's not clear why. Either because when you put the two together, you're burning. You're melting for no reason. So Rabbi Yaakov held you shouldn't do it. He also writes, you also don't put your fingers up like we do in a regular. However, I quoted on the page that Rav Moshe held, not like that, Rav Moshe held, you do put the two together and it's treated like a regular Havdalah. Yom Tov Sheni is always, the second night Yom Tov is always an interesting Shaila. About Stamazay, should you light candles? Right? Many people, Rav Shechter and others, my Rebbe is also Machmer, that they don't light candles on the second night. Why don't they light candles on the second night? Because it's very clear in Halach, you can only light candles when you're being nene from the light. And you have to specifically turn on the lights, L'Shem Shabbos. So how do you light ever on a Friday night? So what a lot of people do, Rav Shechter does this also, he turns off the light. The room is dark, and then he lights the candles, and he turns on the light. The problem is when it comes to the second night of any Yom Tov, the second night of Yom Tov, there is no way of doing that. So my Rebbe, what he does is he sets his lights to a timer, and it goes off for whatever it is, 10 minutes, then he lights the candles, and then it goes back on. I don't know if Rav Shechter does or doesn't do it. He does mention such an idea. He says it makes a lot of sense to him. A Talmud of mine told me Rav Shechter stayed by him for Yom Tov, and his mother gave him the two candles for the second night, and he gave it right back to her. He said, thank you, but no thank you. I don't like candles on the second night of Yom Tov. That's his minhag. And it's a very compelling argument, because it's very hard to justify what the role of these candles are when the light is right over your head, doing a very good job lighting up everything. So it's a fair argument. But I think most of us in Klal Yisrael, we do light on the second night of Yom Tov. So keep that in mind of about how to do the Havdalah on the second night of Yom Tov. What else is there? We talked about in other years, we talked about the sizes of Kezias. So this year, the Star K, I saw for the first time, an interesting Shita. Now, we always been saying over for the years that the size of a Kezias is somewhere between a half of a machine, hand matzah, or something like that. So in the Star K's new guide that came out this year, they said that they showed Reb Heinemann, and Reb Heinemann said it's a third. A third of a hand matzah is a kezias. That was the opinion of Rav Heinemann. I always thought the way he writes in other svarim / books, it's somewhere between a half, somewhere around that department, something like that. But it's a third. He said it's a third of a matzah. He measured it and he checked it out. A third of a matzah is what you need to be yaitz to the shir kezias.
How would somebody have shev brachas on Saturday?
That's complicated. Yeah, I know someone who had it. I forgot how it works. I know a bunch of people. Yeah, I forgot how it goes again. Yeah, yeah, they talk about it. It gets somewhat complicated. When exactly you have it? Yeah. It's definitely a shayla. Yeah, I forgot how it goes again. Yeah, they definitely discuss what you're allowed to do. I'm trying to think what else we talked about. We talked about maror a bunch of years ago. We'll talk about maror one more time. Very bekitzer. Everyone talks about what to use for maror, what not to use for maror. So the most ironic thing of the whole discussion is the Mishnah in Psachim lists the order of the things you can use for maror. So the first thing on the list is the lettuce. Believe it or not. The third thing on the list is the horseradish. That's the third thing on the list. That's what we use. And the reason why we use that is for many, many years, that's all we had. Because we had issues with bugs, we couldn't get our hand on it, therefore we didn't use it. So for many years, everyone always used the horseradish. That was pretty accepted. The Mishnah Berurah writes before, she says, you have to grind it up. I never heard anyone who didn't. But he writes, it's karev, it's almost, you're going to get hurt, and there's no mitzvah to hurt yourself. Don't cut it, you make sure you grind it up properly, don't eat it in chunks, by whole. You got to grind it up first. So today, a lot of people, they like to do both. We use the leaves with the maror, just because it's easier to wrap it up. I find it a little neater, in my humble opinion. Everything stays much nicer and neater, cleaner. Baron Cutler was of the opinion, it's lav dafka romaine. Baron Cutler used to use iceberg. He held any lettuce is in the lettuce family, and the chasa is lettuce. So you can use any lettuce you want. And the truth is, there's mistama raya to this from a taisis and brachas. Taisis and brachas has a shayla. Why is there no bracha on the mar? We don't make a bracha on the mar. Yeah, because everyone knows we yoitze it with the karpas. What we use for karpas knocks out the mar as well. But taisis doesn't say that. Taisis says the reason why you don't have to make a bracha on the mar is because mar are one of those things that come machmas asuda. They're part of the meal. I mean, they're part of the meal. How many times do you eat bitter herbs at your meal? The answer is no, because Taisus wasn't talking about that. He's talking about lettuce. Lettuce. People have salads all the time. So lettuce is definitely Dvar Mabah Machmas Asud. So according to that, Taisus in Brachas is very Mistavra. The Nitziv wrote a letter to his son of Chaim Berlin, and it's brought down in Nitziv and Chumash. And in Meremi Asadam Psachim, he wrote to his son was fasting, his son was a Bukhar, he used to fast on Erev Pesach. He told him, you're not allowed to fast on Erev Pesach, because you eat that chrein, it's so sharp and so powerful, it's dangerous. You can eat that on an empty stomach, you have to stop doing that, it's very, very dangerous. So I always found two chedushim in that piece of Nitziv. People actually fasted on Erev Pesach, that you never hear of today, who fasted on Erev Pesach. It's almost an obsolete concept. And secondly, you know, he used to have the sharp, sharp chrein that used to put a hole in your stomach. That's what he used to use. But again, the accepted custom today is to use a little bit of both. Again, you do have to check it. If you're going to get any form of those leaves, they do require a significant amount of checking to make sure there's no bugs in them. But the kash is, how can you use that for mara? It's not bitter at all. So it's a mefurish Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says if you leave it in the ground long enough, it becomes bitter. So the Chazon Ish says, good, so leave it in the ground long enough, and then you can use it for mar. You can't use it for mar right now. So the Chazon Ish was against it. But many, many Chashiva people used to use, and Adi Yemezeh used this type of lettuce for mar, because they hold its higher ranking in the list. Shulchan Aruch writes, he's supposed to use the highest level, the first thing mentioned in the Mishnah. The first thing in the Mishnah is lettuce. So l'chayr, it's a more thing, better thing to use than the mar. So that's why many people today use lettuce instead of the mar. Okay.